Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
As you know, we began last week with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, talking about, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, we may be able to stand our ground or your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, and I use that verse to entitle the first message, Evil Days Ahead. The point of that is just to say that after COVID, we've seen millions of people die, and that's obviously something that's evil. We're also seeing millions of people go into poverty because of inflation. I was just went at a Grab today and realized that my Grab had gone up more than 20%. Ukraine is in war, and obviously the conflict between the U.S. and China is brewing. And so to say that there are evil days ahead. However, I did say that the Bible has some relevant information, some robust information, some factual information, spiritual information out of the book of Ephesians that will help us navigate these evil days. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Notice the word struggle. Struggle meaning fight, meaning against, meaning the winds of war. We feel this in the light of the reality that we are up against spiritual forces. When I speak of winds of war, which is the title of this message, I don't mean warfare, physical warfare, but to be clear, what I mean is spiritual warfare. Therefore, it says in verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, we may be able to stand our ground, and after we've done everything to stand, then he goes on to say in verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. We find the first piece of armor that God gives us. And the reason why it is the first piece of armor is because the first thing we're going to encounter are the devil's schemes. To overcome that, we will need a healthy dose of the truth. A belt, whether whatever ancient warriors they may be, is always something one wears. It puts together his garments and also carries the weapon that he holds. By the way, when you look at the armor that God gives us, all of these are not offensive. They're all in defense, and some of them are actually accessories to help us keep things. However, the belt is what holds the very last weapon, the only weapon we have, which is the sword of the Spirit. When you look at modern-day warriors, it's the same thing. The belt is there because for practical reasons, number one, it's in the middle of your body. It holds everything together. It gives you access very quickly. But Paul was most likely talking about the Roman soldiers of his day. The same thing where the belt is there, but it was a metaphor for something that was not physical, but something that was spiritual. The truth, something that you need to have access with, something that undergirds you, something that holds everything together. In Ephesians chapter 6, we find Paul talking about the belt of truth. But the truth is, Ephesians is a very wonderfully written letter to the people of Ephesus because everything that's written in Ephesians 6 is actually a review of Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Notice where it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and also you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. We were included in Christ through what? The message of truth. The idea of the belt of truth is something that Paul was unpacking early on in his letter. He says this message of truth is the gospel of your salvation. My first point, therefore, is the message of truth. The message of truth is simply this. We have been saved by the truth. It's what it says. The message of truth, the gospel, has saved us. For many of us, we need to understand a fundamental truth if we're going to be able to wage war against spiritual forces. First of all, is I am undeserving. When you realize how undeserving you are, and then you need salvation, you begin to embrace the fullness of the message of truth. I am undeserving, but I have been included in Christ because He saved me. I am unblessed because I'm a sinner, and yet I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, as we talked about last week. I'm unqualified, and yet it says I'm seated in heavenly realms. And because of that, I have wisdom and truth to reveal to the people that I encounter. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, and you were also included when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. Notice what it says. When you believe this truth, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is the Spirit of truth. The message of truth that is given to us in Ephesians is, one, we are saved by the truth, but the second part is we are sealed by the Spirit of truth. A seal has many purposes. A seal, in this particular case, is not a manual ball of wax, but the literal Holy Spirit of God that resides inside of us. The purpose of a seal is to authenticate things. The Holy Spirit authenticates the reality that He lives inside of us. When we know the truth, when we have the message of truth, that we've been saved by the gospel of truth, and the Holy Spirit has sealed us with a mark that authenticates His reality of truth being inside of us. When I think about this, a recent encounter was with a lady who sent my wife a message. She sent a message to her in text and said, "I've been told by the Holy Spirit to deliver this message to you." That morning, my wife came to me weeping and saying, "I can't believe that this is something God is saying to this woman." This woman had no idea one of the struggles that my wife had for years, and yet here she was being told, authenticated by the Holy Spirit, to give my wife this message. My wife was so blessed, delivered, set free by this one simple message, and so she sent me a second message. This time it was for me. And when I read the message, it was so amazing because what she told me was actually something I was about to do the following day. In light of that, I decided to send her a message. I said, "I'm going to meet with you at 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday." Interestingly, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I had a meeting with my oldest son. And when she finally came into our Zoom chat, she said, "I have a message for your son." The point is this. The Holy Spirit authenticates. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the truth. And the Holy Spirit is marking us with the truth. More than that, He protects us with the truth. One of the ways the Holy Spirit protects us, it marks us or seals us, that's what the seal does, is to authenticate and to protect, is to convict us of sin. My son was interesting in a conversation with a friend, and his friend was saying, "Pastor," my son is a pastor, and he was saying, I'm so worried because I can't seem to be free of pornography. It seems like I'm constantly tested and tempted about it. I never fall for it, but it's always there." The point of this is that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. My son said this to his friend. He said, "Do you realize that before I ask you this question, in the past, when you had issues with pornography, did it worry you or bother you?" He said, "No." "Then why are you calling me this early in the morning? Because it bothers you." What this simply tells you is it authenticates the fact that the Spirit of truth is in you, and it's convicting you of sin and protecting you from sinning. When you don't have the truth in you, the lie does not bother you. When the Spirit of truth marks you, things like these bother you because the truth resides inside of you. And don't let the scheme of the devil to condemn you from realizing, "I know the truth and the truth is in me." John 16 verse 13 says, "But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all the truth." The truth or the seal of the Holy Spirit not just authenticates the fact that He is inside of us, not just protects us or convicts us of sin, He guides us. Recently, my wife had a cyst that they found in between her mouth and her nose. And we talked to 3-4 different doctors and tried to find out which one was the truth. There were 4 pieces of truth. Some were truth in one doctor, the other person had the truth in another doctor, the other person, another hospital. All this information have some semblance of truth. But only the Holy Spirit could lead us to the right procedure, the right hospital, the right doctor, which all ended up to be the best decision ever. The truth can easily become what we think it should be, what we want it to be, what we feel it should be, or more importantly, what we need it to be. But the truth is, only the Holy Spirit can take all of these and lead us and guide us to the actual truth. In 2020, in January, I was in Malaysia, and I sensed the Holy Spirit speaking to me about some impending thing that was about to happen. I had no idea there was COVID, but there was something that He was speaking to me in the hotel room that I couldn't even leave my hotel room. I started to pray, and I actually fasted, just wanting to know what it was. By the time February hit, I was already being guided by God, which led us to cancel our live services in light of realizing that this was real. The Holy Spirit guides us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 continues. He says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." The Lord's will is synonymous to the Lord's truth. He goes on to say, "Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God." It's not a coincidence that when you find people purveying or selling wines, they often attach the word spirits, because wines and spirits are actually synonymous. Now, Paul does not make a mistake, or it was accidental, that he points out that the Holy Spirit is just like wine. He says, "Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled by the Holy Spirit." The reason why he said that is because both of these fill us. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the truth of God. When you're filled with wine, that's another thing. It can be confusing. Both of these can influence you. There's a term that says you're under the influence of something. Wine, for example. Both of these activate a certain amount of boldness. When you are filled with wine, there's a boldness, there's certain actions you take that you feel that you can do anything. It's true with the Holy Spirit. No, more than that, one will mislead you, but the other one will lead you to the truth. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is," there it is, "led astray." One will lead us astray away from the truth, while the Holy Spirit will lead us to the truth. The message of truth is simply this: we are saved by the truth, we are sealed by the Spirit of truth, and finally, we can be filled with the truth every day. Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, "Let no one deceive you." There's that word deception again. With what? Empty words. "For because of such things, the wrath of God comes to those who are disobedient." When we think about that, it says, "We were once with darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Notice what it says. When you say light of the Lord, live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and there it is again, truth. Paul was actually talking about another aspect of truth, not just the message of truth, but living as children of light, or living by the truth. How do you live by the truth? Where it says, for first and foremost, don't live for empty words. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Deception often comes when you have empty words. The Greek word for empty is the word kinos, which simply means nothing. No substance, no wisdom, no truth. And because of these, the key to understand is whenever you have empty words, it leads you to disobedience. I'm not against social media. I'm not against people posting different things. But I urge you, admonish you, and warn you to not just mindlessly, blindly give in to them or keep delivering them or giving them. They're empty words, they're false images, they're false practices, they're man-pleasing lies and flattery. And sometimes when you get so used to this, it becomes extremely dangerous, not only when we give it, and more importantly, when we keep receiving it. Earlier, I talked to you about wines and spirits, the reality that they fill you, the reality that they influence you, activate you to certain things. That's why there are influencers when you have empty words. They mislead you, and often they will. The truth is, only the Holy Spirit will fill you the truth. But the other thing I want to point out about the Holy Spirit and wine is both of them are addictive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "I beseech you," in the King James Version, "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it's the first fruits of Achaia, and they have been addicted themselves." Notice the words "addicted themselves" to the ministry. Back in the day, in the Old English, addicted means to be devoted. That's why when you read the modern version of the same verse, it talks about this idea of being devoted to themselves, to the service. The point is this: whenever we are devoted to something, whether they're empty words or mindless words, we get addicted to them. When we fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, we get addicted to the truth. It's a one for one. And the whole point is, we're not trying to get to the truth. We have the truth. We have the message of truth. And when we are filled with the truth and addicted to the truth, devoted to truth, we will live in truth. The letter of Ephesians continues in chapter 4, verse 25, where it says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, and here it is, speak truthfully to your neighbor. Living by the truth starts with don't live for empty words. But secondly, live truthfully with your neighbor. Now, Pastor, does that mean I have to tell everybody everything? Probably not. You can't just be too honest or overly honest to the point where you're already offending people or saying things that your company tells you not to tell people. The point is, don't tell a lie. Don't cheat people. Don't flatter people uselessly or manipulate them or man-please them or, worse, control them or even make false promises. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we grow to become, every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Notice the words, speaking the truth. As I've explained to you earlier, the entire book of Ephesians reviews all the different parts and summarizes it in Ephesians 6. And here we find the last component with living by the truth. Don't live for empty words. Live truthfully with your neighbor. Speak the truth in love. Now, there are two extremes when it comes to speaking the truth in love. Some people say, hey, I'm so truthful, I'll just say it like it is. That's not completely the truth. It says, speak the truth in love. The other extreme is, I'm so loving, I won't tell you the truth of what you need to hear. And that's another extreme. There's an interesting book, a New York Times best-selling book, that's recent. I haven't read it, but I've heard about the book called Radical Candor. Radical Candor breaks down two parts of this thing. First is how to care for others personally through your words, and secondly, how to challenge people directly through your words. There are four quadrants here, Radical Candor being the ideal quadrant, but one quadrant, it says, you know, when you are obnoxiously aggressive, when you try to tell people what you want to say, when you want to say it, how you want to say it, regardless of how they feel or whether they need it at the time that they need it. The other one is known as a kind of empathy that is actually ruinous. You don't tell people what they need to know. And then there's the sad reality of manipulative insecure insincerity. When you start stabbing people behind their backs, rather than radical candor, or better yet, what the Bible calls, you don't need to read the whole book, speaking the truth in love. My final point in this message is, Jesus is the truth. He's the Spirit of truth that rests on Jesus, the Spirit of truth that rests on Him, as defined for us and prophesied by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God rests on Him. And it goes on further to say, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might. All of these are resident in Jesus. He is the fullness of the message of truth. He is the way that we can the only way you and I can live by the truth. Further, it goes on to the second part of verse 4. He will strike the earth with the rod of His mouth. There it is, the truth of His mouth. With the breath of His lips, He will slay the wicked. This is a picture of a warrior. Interestingly, Jesus is not just, the Spirit of truth does not just rest on Jesus. Jesus wages war with falseness with the truth. Then it goes on further in verse 5, where it says, righteousness will be His belt, and faithfulness the sash around His waist. This idea of Paul talking about the belt of truth is actually found here. Jesus not only has the Spirit of truth resting on Him, Jesus does not wage war just with the truth. He wears the very belt of truth that you and I should be wearing every day. In short, we're simply following our Master. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 5 tells us, righteousness will be His belt and faithfulness His sash around His waist. These are both pictures of a belt. Righteousness and faithfulness, right plus consistency equals truth. We can't just be truthful if we're just right, if we're not consistent about our truth. Something that's true is, for instance, gravity. It is consistent as time immemorial from day one to this day, 24 hours a day. The sun rises and the sun goes down. It's been going on for centuries. It's right, it's consistent, then it's true. The only person who is such is Jesus. For after all, His own declaration says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The truth of Jesus is the only foundation that you can have. When the evil day comes, you're going to need something far more than an understanding of a message of truth. You're going to need far more than just understanding the truth is a message. The truth is, while true, that we've been saved, while true, that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, while true, that we've been filled with truth every day. We can only live by truth if we have Jesus. Don't live for empty words. Live truthfully with your neighbor. And finally, speak the truth in love. All because of your Savior. All because of the God that you serve. Jesus is the truth. The Spirit of truth rests on Jesus. Jesus wages war with the truth. And finally, Jesus literally wears the very belt of truth you and I should be wearing. As I close this message, I want you to ask to join together in proclaiming Jesus our Savior. I want you to pick up a piece of bread and a cup as we pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our truth, for being the very foundation of the very message of truth, that we have been saved not by our own works and undeserving, as unblessed and as sinful as we are, you saved us. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you've sealed us by your very Holy Spirit. And we thank you that we can live and enjoy the truth every day of our lives. And as we live in truth, Lord, teach us to live in community with others, not to take advantage of others, not to speak falsely against others, but to walk in truth every day of our lives. Be blessed and be glorified in our lives this day. In your name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.